Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Triple M footy starts your weekend early.
How good is footy?
With every massive moment.
When you're hot, you're hot.
This
couldn't be more excited.
Is the Thursday Rub.
Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops, proud sponsors of the St Kilda Football Club.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
It's exactly how you want to start your weekend, and it's 0-2. The Pies Premiership defence is off to a very shaky start, and the bright lights of Thursday night footy become even bigger tonight. And tonight also, we celebrate the life of one of our very own and draw attention to an important topic in Spud's game. Hello and welcome to the Thursday Rub. It is all for Thirsty Camel. We've got the full team assembled. We are at the Triple MCG for the Saints and the Pies. Scotty Selwood to join us very shortly. Aaron Hamill to join us a little bit later on as well. I'm Jack Heverin. This box is blessed with superstardom all over. Of course, I start with the Queen of Triple M Footy, the AFLW All-Australian. And while she's on pretty much every platform that Seven have to offer now, from sunrise in the morning to the armchair experts late at night, Kate McCarthy. Hello, Kate, mate.
And absolutely nothing in between, Jack. That's it. It's been great. Yeah, I'm so excited about this game. I think we've obviously got Collingwood. We all know the predicament there in 0-2. And Saints last week obviously couldn't get their season off to a win, so they could potentially be 0-2 if they don't get a win here. And yeah, really excited about this one, and of course a very important cause to celebrate Spud's game.
I was sitting on the couch last night, I watched AFL 360, saw Joey and Kingy break the game apart, and then I thought my footy viewing was done for the night. And then I see Jay-Z Clark hosting as well on Fox Footy. You're everywhere, Jay-Z Clark.
Good evening, Jack. Yes, midweek tackle on Fox Footy. Very good program. Hard-hitting football news. But I must say, the 10 minutes before we go to air are usually quite revealing about the Triple M footy team. And I just keep learning stuff because I got Isaac Smith here, the great man, handing out brownies like he's some sort of outstanding chef, like he should be on MasterChef. So he's got this secret cooking skill. And then you, I've been on Triple M for 10 years, Jack. I've never had anyone request to change the angle of their social media camera in front of them.
Are you going to bullshit off the top, are you? Are you going to bullshit off the top?
It's a real Nathan Brown thing to do. I'm not happy with the angle of the camera. Can we get that adjusted for me? So, mate, I've never seen that before, but I love it. And I love your work, and I'm glad you're...
There's craft and then there's lies.
Oh, he demanded the Yankees.
All I said is it was my fat, bald head in the way of the camera like it was last week. So I moved. No one wants to see me anymore. What they do want to see is Isaac Smith, who's come in, and I think in an attempt to try and win over the team, and he's already won us over, but brought in brownies this week, Isaac Smith. That's impressive.
Yeah, well, it's a... my wife was pretty disappointed that I wasn't making it for her, but I just thought, well, team building, all that type of stuff that I learnt when I was playing football. And I thought if I'm going to be a part of the team, then I've got to add a bit of value and I cook a bit. So I thought, I'll bake some brownies.
And smart, because you had put some noses out of joining the Triple M early. You got Stevie J wound up. Paddy Dangerfield's not happy. I think we'll get to that a little bit later, Hev. But you have sort of, caused a few fractures.
You win some, you lose some.
Are you saying that you're happy to shed a few?
Yeah, well, we won't be shedding them if we finish all these brownies. Well, Jay certainly won't anyway.
Yeah, you've been a little aggressive on those brownies, Jay-Z, I must admit. Hey, big night for Collingwood with this one. As I said, it's 0-2, and they have played the Giants and Sydney. Two very, very good teams, but it is a big night for the Pies, and their forwards coach, Scott Selwood, joins us on Triple M Footy. Scotty, I know it's only the third game of the season, and to you guys, it probably doesn't feel like much more than just the third game of the season, but what have you made of the start of the year so far, and I guess some of the commentary around it?
Yeah, I mean, we've played two really good sides. Not to take away from the fact we would have liked to have played better, but at the same time, we give credit to the Swans and the Giants that they're a quality outfit, and it's time for us to pull up our socks a little bit and play the way we like to play a bit more.
Scotty, there's been a lot of criticism of your defensive half and your back line over the first 2 weeks. I sort of look at it a little bit different. I think you've been butchering the football in the back half in dangerous spots, and it's been going straight back over the defenders' heads. What are you putting down a lot of these back half turnovers to? It's been very un-Collingwood-like.
Yeah, it's a good point, Jay. I do think very similar. We have butchered a bit, haven't we? But we probably overcoached a certain part of our game. We probably thought teams are going to try and take away our territory game. So we probably looked to switch a little bit more. And in saying that, though, we probably went away from what we do best, which is take the contest, turn up, pressure, fight, and go from there. So that's probably the one thing we're probably going to change our focus on a little bit going forward.
Now, Scott, a good friend of ours last year asked you about sort of the forward line in general and not quite on the correct team. Do you still know how Harry Mackay's preseason gone?
I can't believe that joke's still going. It's got a good run, hasn't it? But, hopefully he gets the right team this time.
And tonight, obviously, there's been a large reliance on Brody Mychek in the forward line. He just seems to be so reliable down there, offering such a key pillar. How are we working towards sort of at the club getting those smalls back into the game, getting the ball inside 50 and keeping it there?
Yeah, it's probably the way we're moving the ball. So, like I said, we probably try to go around the opposition's defences a little bit and thought that would be a focus area for us. But, yeah, we've just changed our focus. Let's kick it to the contest, bring the ball to ground. And we love our small forwards. They're so dangerous when they're around the contest. So let's give them a chance a bit more. So that's sort of the philosophy we're going with.
We're speaking to the great Scotty Selwood. Can you explain some of the structure tonight, Scotty? Because you got Frampton back in for Charlie Dean. Will he play in defence? And then Reece McInnes, I thought he was unlucky not to be selected in the opening round game. Of course, he comes in for Ash Johnson. Can you explain how that'll set up with those two guys?
Yep, so Billy will play back tonight. He'll probably get a key matchup, which you can probably pick yourselves. But
Maxi King?
that is the key matchup, so well done. So, and then Reece, yeah, really unfortunate not to be playing round zero. But he kept fighting. He had a great preseason. We went a little bit taller with Ash Johnson the first couple of weeks, and Ash had a brilliant preseason, so he will come back into the side at some stage. But now Reece gets his chance, and he's been working his backside off over the preseason, and we don't expect him to be anything other than just bringing strengths to the table. So a lot of cliches in there, but I think I hit most of them.
Scoot, where in the world's Graham Wright at the moment?
You'd know better than what I would. I think he's sitting on a beach in Portugal or something at the moment, getting a suntan and trying not to read the press.
Yeah, well, he's taking the P155, right he is. But tell us a couple. There's in every game, and you'll have some things earmarked as coach, there'll be a couple of players that you think can get off the leash tonight a little bit with how St Kilda play. Tell us maybe one or two. Tell the fans out there who you think can get off the leash tonight for Collingwood.
For Collingwood, that's a really good point. It's probably the way we set up. So some things we're trying to look out for is what's our intercept game look like. It's a good way of how they try and slingshot a lot of the time. So what's Wilkie doing? What's Sinclair doing back there to try and help generate and move the ball and move it really quickly? And vice versa for us, how damaging can we be going inside 50? So with Nick and the ball in hands, or do we need to play him back for at certain times to help us generate? So knowing it's going to be a patient game in offence tonight with both teams pretty strong defences, we will have to take our time and make sure we're quite, particular with the way we go inside 50.
And obviously we know how St Kilda, you just touched on it, want a slingshot sort of off that half back line. Sometimes that does make it difficult for your small half forwards having to be sort of super accountable to them but also wanting to attack. How are you going to approach that from the smalls with obviously Hill, Bonner we saw last week play a really good game, Wanganeen Miller and also Liam Henry obviously with his run and gun?
Yeah, you need to make them honest. So the first thing is you either have to match them if you're not getting used, or you have to lower your eyes inside 50. So it's probably a key point to their game in terms of how hard they get back and how well they can use the ball going outside when they're rebounding. So can we use them on the way up? Can we use up our numbers and force them to play higher? Or if we're not, can we match them and make them defend us inside 50?
And Scotty, your brother, your champion brother, now has a stand named after him. I know he's won every medal there is, and he's the champion of the game. has his head got any bigger now that Geelong has literally named a structure after him?
It's incredible. I've been listening to a little bit of the work, and it's good to have Iz in on the team, but I have heard that Iz wanted it named after him after his grand final performance. So who knows?
Well, it'd be only fair, Scoots.
Joel doesn't have a Norm Smith bone, so remind them of that.
Oh, mate, I don't know how you do it being the other brother.
Oh, it's all right. I'm still better than Troy and Adam, that's what I say, so I'm second in line.
You're one of our favourites, Scotty. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Cheers. Scott Selwood from the Pies joining us on Triple M Footy. See, word gets around about you. It hasn't taken long, has it?
No, I haven't. He's putting words into my mouth. And, yeah, anyway, it probably should happen.
You've made a very strong start. Izzy, can we ask you in all serious? So the statistics say that you can't go zero. Once you go 0-3, you don't play finals. That's what the data tells us. You need a miracle from 0-3 to play finals. So if the Collingwood lose tonight, they play Brisbane last week. So it's all on the line for the Pies tonight. But can I ask you, Isaac, you've won 4 premierships. Have you ever experienced a premiership hangover? And do you think, is there been any evidence in Collingwood's first 2 losses that says to you their bellies are full? Like, is this, as Scott says, you know, a turnover thing, a more technical thing of football? Or do you think, as some people have been saying this week, they're a bit happy with the flag?
Well, have I experienced a hangover? I've experienced plenty, Jay. premiership ones, I'm not sure.
But how did your coaches deal with
it? We came out. Geelong was a little bit different. We had a hell of a lot of injuries and a lot of things going on post that grand final. Even coming out of COVID, there was that lingering effect where the staff had worked for sort of 3 years and there was a lot of fatigue. And it was a period of time where people needed to rest and rejuvenate and get back. So it was probably a little bit different. At Hawthorn, we probably didn't experience any hangovers, and it was probably the way the coaching staff and the players went about it, is in we were so sure of our game, we were so sure of what we were really good at, and we'd attack that even harder in the pre-season as players and coaches. So, Collingwood's an interesting one at the moment. Is it a hangover? I don't think so. I still feel like they've got the talent to play really good football. They've been unlucky that, to me, they've hit the 2 best sides in the competition at the moment in GWS and Sydney. And that they would have probably started preseason a little bit slower because they did win the grand final. They would have had different things going on, and you only get a couple of weeks before Christmas and then you roll into January. So I think they're just starting a little bit slow. To me, their game still looks strong. They're not doing things that... And their defence got pulled apart this week, but it's funny, like last year they were doing things like that, and some coaches might call it cheating, some might call it offside, but they have such confidence in their defence to turn the ball over and be able to use the ball well, and that just hasn't been happening.
It was interesting in that Scooter Selwood interview, he said they've been trying to switch too much. So I wonder whether tonight, K-Mac, whether it's more boundary, more long down the line play. He said we thought they'd sort of try and choke us up, so we've been trying to switch. Maybe we stick more to our 2023 brand. That's what I picked up.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the turnovers last week, though, they were just skill errors. There was so many that you wouldn't expect players to miss kicks on.
Yep.
Either it was a horrible kick or the decision for the kick was never on in the first place.
Yep.
So I think if they're still going to execute the kicks and hit the kicks, it's on, yep, which is what they were doing last year, and they were tearing teams apart with it. But I think just sort of 50-50, and I think it could be too much the other way in one aspect. They've got so much confidence from the way they played last year that they have that innate confidence to hit that kick that might be a 50-50, but they're going to back themselves and hit it. And the last 2 weeks they haven't come off, so now they maybe have to peel it back a little bit and just take things back ever so slightly and play a little bit more safe,
yep,
before they get that back up to where it was last year.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
It's a Thursday rub at the MCG, the Saints and the Pies, as we celebrate Spud's game for the 4th edition of a wonderful, wonderful game on the calendar. The Thursday rub team's in the house. JZ Clark, Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy and Jack Heverin. We'll talk to Aaron Hamill a little bit later on, who's representing the Blues tonight. A representative from every team will be out in the middle as part of the pre-game celebration. Hamish McLaughlin will do all the hosting. Pete Murray and Temper Trap will be performing as well. Very much looking forward to a big, big night and a big game of footy. But JZ Clark, lots, yep, of news happening. Why, yep, don't we start with the Hawks?
Yes, massive week for their captain, James Sicily. We'll get to the teams in a second. They're just coming through. Sammy Draper in for the Bombers. Harry Jones out. Jack McRae overlooked at the Western Bulldogs again for a second week. So we'll go through those in a little bit, the big changes. But a massive week for James Sicily. You remember the kicking charge initially, one match suspension, downgraded to a fine. You played with him for 5 weeks, so you know him
5 weeks.
5 years. 5 years. Sorry.
Collingwood played Brisbane last week and now five in Sicily for 5 weeks.
2015 to 2020. So carries a huge responsibility, clearly, as captain, but he can lose his cool. How have you seen the evolution and maturity of James Sicily? Because you know, Isaac, that every team in the competition, every time they play Hawthorn, they're going to go to him now and try and ruffle his feathers.
I reckon it's one of the great stories in footy, how Rory came in and he was an aggressive young kid. He didn't really know how to control his emotions, but we still laugh about as a group when he was having a go at Taylor Dre when we were playing over in WA.
And gave him a mouthful.
Oh, gave him an absolute mouthful, which was very funny when Taylor was only trying to help him. But
was he apologetic after that?
Yeah, he was. And that's the thing about Sis, is that he's so competitive when he steps on the field. He's competitive in absolutely everything he does. You play golf with him, he cracks the shits. But he's the first one to put his hand up and say, oh, I've stuffed up there. And
yep.
To be honest, I actually genuinely didn't think there was a hell of a lot. I was here on Saturday and I didn't think there was a hell of a lot. It looked more like a reflex reaction when he's tried to flip Andy McGrath and put him on his back. And I'm not just saying that because he's one of my mates. I just think the whole situation probably got overblown a little bit. But if I was an opposition coach, I'd be going straight for him because, you know, there's the opportunity to potentially get a free kick in your forward half because he's a defender. So, yeah, his maturity has gone from a very low level to a very high level. And it's one of the better stories I've seen in footy since I've been involved. And he is a great person. And at times he struggles to control his emotions on the field.
I just think from your captain, probably you need a little bit of a different approach. I know he's obviously grown so much as a person and that's fantastic and it's really great to see. I just think now that he's the captain of the footy club and one of their best players, if not their best player, week in, week out, you can't really have the case where every sort of 8 or 9 weeks he's having a week or two off. Yep. I think that really affects your form as a team and it also affects the players around you and the changes that need to be made to the structure when he's not playing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You want your best players out there all the time. The one thing I will say is that in the last 20 years, Hawthorn's captains have been Richie Vandenberg. Didn't mind a scruffle. Hodgie. Loved a scruffle more than anyone I've ever seen. And I'm not sure what his tribunal record was, but it wouldn't have been great. Sam Mitchell, he pushed every boundary there was to be pushed out there. And then you got James Sicily. And to be honest, if I'm a player and that's my captain, I'm happy to run out behind him. So I know sometimes to the eye, things don't look good and we pull them apart when we're not out on the field. But when you're a player, and if that was my captain and I saw a team coming to my captain like Essendon did on the weekend, that would fire me up as well. So the opposition's playing a fine line as well. And Hawthorn aren't in the point in time where they're in the go zone, but when they are and he is their captain, I reckon it's a pretty scary proposition.
What if 10% of the time, though, in the season, you're not actually running out with him because he's not playing? Mm.
Yeah, it's not a bad... I reckon Hodgie would have missed 10% of every season I played with him.
So the unsociable Hawks, the unsociable Hawks brand...
It starts with the captain, clearly.
...is still alive. Sam Mitchell backed in the skipper today. Said, look, he's a work in progress. We know that. He's imperfect, but we back him in for the characteristics and the improvement he's made in all these sorts of areas. But it is going to be interesting to see which of the Melbourne players get right in his face, because you know that's going to happen.
A couple of minutes before we welcome in our South Australian audience, Jay-Z.
Yep.
So they'll be pretty keen to hear the news that when they join us as well, that Matthew Nix has signed on with the Crows for a couple more years.
2-year extension. I feel like this is deserved, isn't it, Kate? I mean, Adelaide's rise has been pretty consistent under Nix over the past 4 years. Just missed finals last year. So I feel like they're a stable base. You know, they're not probably top four material just yet, but he feels like he's ticked all the boxes so far.
Izzy has strong feelings on this one about the re-signing. He's very happy with it. Go ahead, Izzy.
Well, just before I go ahead with it, I'm a bit disappointed that Adelaide missed out on our half an hour of gold.
Well, that's their loss.
No, but I'm a big... I talked about it with Kate this morning. I'm a big fan of the signing. I really like the direction Adelaide are going in. I don't believe they're in a premiership window right at the moment. No. Their defence is... not, I won't say ordinary. It's just young. They've got four players that play every game in their defence at the moment that are under 50 games. And the keys to their defence are really young, which is exciting for Adelaide. So I wouldn't really be concerned with how they go this year. You just want to see improvement. So I just think it's a good move by Adelaide.
Max Michelani could walk down Chapel Street and not get noticed. That's for sure. Hey, Jed Walter is going to make his debut for Gold Coast. And Sam Darcy into the squad at the Western Bulldogs. It's fascinating what's happening at the Kennel. Caleb Daniel on the substitute bench. Guys, what would you do with Aaron Norton? So he's part of a three-pronged, potentially four-pronged forward line, yet they're vulnerable in the back half. Should he not be playing centre-half back or centre-half forward? What do you think?
This is Kate. She's all over this.
Do you want more time to think about this?
What do you think, Kate?
No, I have strong feelings. I think I can definitely get to that. I'll be concise, Jack. But I just think they need to play him in defence. I think he needs to be centre-half back. Throw him back there. Get him sort of firing back there. Get the ball in his hands and slingshot back there. They have a huge hole to fill there.
I feel like there's a lot more with the Western Bulldogs that we need to talk about. Yep. I reckon we need to devote a bit more time to the Western Bulldogs before the bounce of the footy.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy. When we think of Danny Spud Frawley, we think legacy. We think of his legacy as one of St Kilda's best players and captains.
Frawley, too strong and too good.
That one from the play, Frawley.
His legacy in bringing final success to Richmond.
It's over. Richmond, a Kilda preliminary final. What a thrill for Danny Frawley.
And then, his legacy in shaping Triple M footy and the Saturday Rub.
I reckon Spud was at his best on the Saturday Rub.
I'm doing some of his best work, man. Looking at us now. How you going? Yeah, we're in here, you're out there. Because we're number one.
Spud was the star on Saturdays, often without meaning to be.
In one of the most extraordinary about faces in recent history, Spud is now to be known as Chomper Frawley. Oh,
shit. I have one.
Spud, Chomp. Spud's head is Chomper's.
I've had one. No.
He'd never learn you couldn't hide anything.
St Kilda team of the century, no Spud Regal.
That can't be true.
I'm not in it, mate.
For the last 18 months on this station, had Annie Frawley, St Kilda fullback of the century, I've been giving it. Any danger of you tap me on the shoulder and saying, Jim, he's up on the team of the century.
But when he got found out...
It was also a third person who was introduced to the crowd...
Don't.
As Dr. Daniel Frawley. Now look me in the eye. Is that true?
Spud.
Sort of.
At least he had the upper hand physically.
You're getting out.
Oh, God.
Oh,
Spud's grabbed
it's
on
in here.
Spud. Manhandling Purple. He's drawing him.
While Spud was a great player, coach, and broadcaster, he was also the knockabout potato farmer from Bungaree, who loved his mates.
Spud was a warm, loving, loyal man who would do anything for you.
That's right.
If you were a mate of his.
Yeah. And his family.
He loved his girls.
Anita and his girls.
He loved them. He worshipped the girls in his life. He never, ever stopped talking about all four of them.
Yep.
Spud also had a passion for discussing mental health.
Spud was he gave a voice to those people out there who were suffering.
And getting blokes to open up.
And when the doctor says to you, how are you going? Don't say okay if you're not okay. Tell him you're battling.
Now his legacy lives on with the Danny Frawley Centre, the state-of-the-art health and wellbeing facility in Moorabbin. And every year we celebrate Spud's life, honouring his commitment to mental wellness and remembering a larger-than-life bloke who brought joy to all around him.
We were lucky. We were lucky to have been with him.
He was the glue, wasn't he?
Ripper, straight shooter.
That formed us all.
It does feel like he's going to come steaming through the door at any moment.
And clip someone. Yep. Probably Warriors.
Hey, I'll use your head as a speedball in a minute, Warrior.
This is Spud's Game.
A wonderful, wonderful human being that sadly is not with us, and there's not a day that goes by that most of us don't think about Danny Frawley in one shape or form. But one thing we know about Spud is that he would be so proud of what this game has become and the conversations that it opens up. Tonight it's St Kilda and Collingwood, and for the fourth time, Spud's Game will take over at the MCG. This is the Thursday Rub. Jay Clark, Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy and Jack Heverin, for those of you joining us across South Australia for the very, very first time. It is a really, really special night, this one. It's one that means a lot to so many people for different reasons. And even just listening to that beautiful package that Matty Haywood from our team put together, Spud was just, he was everything. He was just a complete one of one, and there'll never be another one like him.
No, certainly. He lifted everyone who he was around. I mean, you only have to go back and listen to some of the golden Saturday rubs, on which I listen to frequently and still piss myself. It is that funny. He was just an incredible character, and we miss him every day.
I remember I was at the club when obviously the tragic news came through, and just to see the effect that it had on everyone at St Kilda. And unfortunately, I was never fortunate enough to meet Spud, and just hearing the stories, hearing him, the packages that come out about these days, and speaking with his daughters as well as his wife, probably one of the true ones that I really feel like less fortunate to have not met him and had interactions with him, and just sounds like the most incredible person that you could have called a friend.
The pregame ceremony tonight will be fantastic. We mentioned Temper Trapper playing. Pete Murray's also playing. Hamish McLaughlin, Spud's great mate and an ambassador for Spud's game, will be hosting everything. But one of the great things tonight will be, and we'll bring it to you here on Triple M Footy, is that every team will be represented out there. And I know it'll mean a lot to Aaron Hamill to be involved in this tonight as well. He's with the Blues now as an assistant coach, but spent a lot of time with the Saints, played some great footy with the Blues and the Saints, and knew Spud very, very well. Aaron, thanks for joining us on Triple M Footy. I won't put words into your mouth, but it must mean a lot to be involved tonight.
Oh, absolutely. No, thanks for having us. I appreciate it on such an occasion. It was, and I just heard your little intro there around sort of what he meant to so many people. And, you know, when you get asked to talk about Spudder, you know, luckily enough to coach with him for a while he was a bloody lunatic, he just made things fun. And quite often when you meet people, you know, you might forget what they say, but you never forget how they make you feel. And Spud was a type of bloke that he would just make you feel good because of, whether it be a little bit of a piss take or whether it would be something like a funny story. So, yeah, great to be involved and a really big occasion for the St Kilda Footy Club.
What was he like inside the footy club? I only knew him, Aaron, as a media and as a commentator. What was he like in the locker room? I can just sort of picture like 20 blokes or 30 blokes just being drawn to him. I can imagine him really holding court in the locker room. There just must have been so many of those sort of times.
Yeah, well, I never played with him. He was a bit before my time, but I was lucky enough to coach with him, and that's same sort of camaraderie there, I guess. But speaking to the older guys like Harves and Berkey and Lowy and Andrew Thompson and those guys, that like just a freak trainer in terms of how he was able to prepare himself and play in, you know, one of the toughest positions. But he didn't really change his philosophy as sort of coaching. He was part-time when I was at the Saints and I was full-time there, and he'd whip the joint up into a frenzy at 7 a.m. and then you wouldn't see him for 2 hours, and he'd come back and he'd be in a tornado for another hour, and then he'd ask where he was, and then he'd be hitting a bucket of balls down at the local golf club, then he'd come back and check in again. And so you'd never really know, but he was you'd certainly know when he was in the room with either his laughter or a storyteller around something that he'd been up to or something that he did in the past. But fantastic for your fabric and the culture of your footy club.
He's someone that everyone, when you talk to him, they've all got a story that pops up when they're talking about Spud. Mine was, I was in a taxi in Hong Kong with him, Liam Shields and myself, and he had, I reckon the taxi driver could not speak a word of English and the taxi driver was in laughter. So I don't know how he did it, but is there something that pops to mind when you think about him?
Just your everyday banter, you know, like he used to ride past my joint on his bike. I mean, you, like as a lot know, he loved his he loved his cycling, and he loved his tight lycra at times. And and on this occasion, he had this green outfit. I don't know what he was doing. He must have been sponsored by something, because he always had something on the hook. Generally free, so we. And he'd just rock into my joint on a Sunday morning in this green lycra, and my daughter at the time was six, just sort of mistake him for Shrek. So, thanks for inviting Dad over, Shrek. So it was quite funny. So I used to call him that for a while. But just so many stories around it, like on the phone, or just an awesome human being, and really lucky to be involved in footy, and that, you know, for those type of reasons, you know, really passionate sort of guy about it with anything that he did. loved his defence, loved his team defence and one-on-one defence. And he used to tell us that he could be the best goal kicker ever, because the only time that he could get Tony Lockett out there was to do goal kicking. So he would always stand on the mark. So he reckons he could talk us through the best goal kicker of all time's technique, and tried to work with the forwards. And so, no, jack of all trades, but just an awesome bloke.
And every time anyone speaks about him, they say the exact things that you've said right now. Just speak about how great he was as a person, the things that he used to instill in other people, the joy that he'd bring to people's lives. As a coach, are there things that you try to implement or that you've taken part from, I guess, your interactions with him and now looking back on his life and his journey that you try to instill in your players?
Yeah, definitely. It's a good question. When I first got to St Kilda from Carlton, I was lucky enough to get the number two, and then got really familiar with the history of it, as you do as a new player to a club, and learning about the culture, and then dug a bit deeper and saw, you know, Spud's coaching journey and what he was able to do at Richmond. And I guess the thing about the coaching with Spud that he would quite often tell us as a coaching group, and Kingsley was there and Sexton and McGlynn, and, you know, really capable coaches in their own right. But he was really big on just the mental health aspect of thing. And, you know, you're never perfect. You're always somewhere in between. And when you're in between, what are you doing about it? And how can you help others and always be on the lookout? So the care side of it, the culture side of it, the rapport, the interest, be interested in others. That side of it, Spud was brilliant at. Always put himself sort of second, and was always on the lookout for others. And that's one thing that certainly I hold dearly in terms of the conversations that he would have often within the coaching group. And then it's just the personal relationship you had with him, the one-on-one relationship you were able to cultivate over the years with him, and the conversations and the passion for footy and lessons sort of post footy as well. So yeah, a number of things that I've certainly harnessed as and taken with me on my coaching journey.
It's a great message and a great reminder. Check in on your mates. It is easy with a call or a text message. And if you want help, or if you feel like you need help, speak up. That is the key message around Spud's game. We'll let you go in a sec. Aaron, obviously assistant coach at Carlton, just flying the blue bag, isn't it? The Vossi there, 2-0. You fixed Harry Mackay's kicking. Hopefully Sammy Walsh can come back soon. You must be feeling good about how the boys have started the season.
Yeah, look, we're certainly... you know, we're certainly not flying and comfortable sort of where we're at. We'd certainly take the 8 points, but it's an unusual time to have a bye, isn't it? We're sort of sitting this week. We've gave the boys a couple of days off, and then we roll into Kangaroos the following week. But, yeah, look, it gives us a chance to reassess and see where we're at. It does help a few of those guys that you mentioned in terms of injuries and where they sit. So we'll have a slow build-up. We'll sit back this weekend and watch Kangaroos go to work and enjoy the rest of the footy. But yeah, it is quite unusual to have the bye. But yeah, we'll roll with it for now.
And you are rolling beautifully at the moment, the Blues. Aaron, thanks for joining us tonight. Great to have you on Triple M Footy as always. And it's a very special night, so enjoy it and reflect on the memories of the great man.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Aaron Hamill joining us on Triple M Footy. And this game is around acknowledging and celebrating the legacy of the great man Spud, but also, as you say, Jay, raising awareness for mental health and raising funds for the Danny Frawley Centre as well, which does some wonderful things in the community.
Could he have screwed the lid back on the Carlton more quickly there? Trying to give the Blues a pump up.
Nah. Just playing it down. They don't want to get too carried away. They've been there before.
It's early.
They don't want to get too carried away.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
It's the Thursday rub for Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops, who are proud sponsors of the St Kilda Saints tonight. We are at the Triple MCG for the Saints and the Pies. Thursday rub, Jay Clark, Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy and Jack Heveron. Teams are in for tonight. No change. Zach Jones will be the sub for the Saints. And Finn McRae, the sub last week for the Pies, will be the sub this week as well. Plenty more news to get to with Jay-Z very, very shortly. We'll talk a little bit more about what's coming up tonight. But, okay, this is something that caught your attention.
Yeah, Jack, look, I think We had some unsubstantiated claims at the start of this that you were talking about how you wanted the camera on you and that you obviously wanted it at a certain angle so that you would look good. And in my personal opinion, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But it's just come to my attention a little bit of a, I guess, a little clip that we saw from Jasper, who does some fantastic work with us on the socials.
Oh, is that his name?
Anyway, I've just seen...
Wait till you experience a night out with Jasper. That's something else.
Jay-Z.
I'm joking, Jasper.
Wearing some real dodgy-looking sunnies. Some, like, real... You know the Thug Life meme? Yeah. Fresh out of there. Absolutely straight off the top shelf of the servo. And he's got them on inside in the box, really enjoying the way he's looking at them. And he's had the hide to then... have a go at you about the cameras. And I heard he asked for the footage of it so he could post it to his own account.
That, can you believe they're actually those servo sunnies that have the flames down the side?
Yeah.
And then BT came in and Quicker took a quick snap of me. None of that's true, people. I got an issue with glare at the moment. I'm getting headaches from all this glare because our lounge room at home, it's like so much glass, it's like... Mars. That's how sunny it is. So I have to wear.
You've been there, have you?
Elon's kidding me. I got to wear my sunnies inside my own house. That's how bad this glare issue has become.
Get some blinds.
How many windows do you have in your house, Jack?
Do we have a blind sponsor?
It's in the middle of the day, and I'm pulling all the blinds down and all the curtains. So look, I need to get a bit of an eye check. But that's the official reason.
Just trying to work out how Jay clearly lives in a mansion with lots of windows, but has $5 sunnies.
Oh, I deserve that. Not bad, Jack.
Now, Isaac, on the other hand, though. So I said that he made a century on debut last week, which he had, and he's continued on his merry way. But we are starting to get a few responses. So he kind of had the run of the mill the first couple of weeks. New kid on the block. He could say whatever he wanted. But when you start to talk about guys like Paddy Dangerfield and Stevie J.
Yep.
Responses are coming.
He's taken on some big dogs, some of the best players to ever do it.
What do they say? You got to take the biggest down. Well, that's the top dog. Is that?
Well, that's what you've done, Isaac. And I think we start with Patrick Dangerfield. We've got a response for Patrick Dangerfield because we raised the fact that Danger's filthy, that you won the Norm Smith and you said, give me a spell. He only played the last quarter and your game was much better. Well, this is Paddy Dangerfield's response.
Oh, look, it's really easy to you know, pot shot from the stands. And for those that, you know, he was a part of success. He wasn't really the main driving factor beyond it. So, you know what those sort of flies around the edges do? They try and stick mud on, you know, the proper players in the competition. And that's sort of what Isaac's done. So I try not to buy too much into the rubbish that he sort of comes up with on the rub. But, you know, I'll keep the receipts, guys.
He's called you a blow-in.
Yeah, something like that. But what, since I've been 17, I've had 5 clubs, 8 premierships in 17 years. So you tell me, I blew in, they won a premiership.
I would call that 30-15. I don't know.
Paddy, of course, very good in the opening round win over the Saints with the long bomb, 55. He didn't mind having a shot and taking the moment.
It was good, wasn't it? And you know what? I'm obviously very good mates with Patrick. And he was telling me all summer how it's the first time in 3 or 4 years he's done a pre-season and he feels really good. And he copped a few knocks outside the four walls of the footy club last year, and it was his first year as captaincy. But that first game on the weekend against St Kilda, that looked like the Patrick Dangerfield of old. So it's exciting for Geelong fans, and it's exciting to see.
And could still extend his career at a forward role. When he's done with the midfield, he could be a dangerous goal kicker forward for a couple of years. But we also raised the great man Steve Johnson because there was a bit of back and forth between you and Jono. We were sort of debating about who's the most successful player here at the Triple M family, or Chief.
Probably Duke, Dunstall.
Yeah, he's probably got his own shelf. But we spoke with Stephen, and we just said that you'd sort of really asserted your authority, and this was his comeback.
How many All Australians has he got? Oh,
here we go. Bang.
I just got a little update from Ryan here, and how many All Australians do you think he's got, Joey? Isaac Smith, our man.
Well, I want to say zero, but yeah. I don't want to be offensive. Is it zero?
Zero All Australian jumpers.
Yeah, 3 of them, it's not too bad, Isaac.
Isn't that a fair old clip of you there?
Yeah, he's got me there. Ask him if he'd trade those three for another flag.
Oh, so there's a bit of banter, Jack.
When does this end? This is what I'm trying. Can this go the entire season?
Well, it can. Yeah, no, it can. I can keep going. I've got plenty more.
People have loved the dry sense of humour from Isaac.
Mind you, it's nice having one or two targets, but yeah, getting too many might hurt in this caper, I reckon.
And Kate, you're starting to spend a bit of time with Isaac as well. You're doing some stuff on a Thursday. How's he? Well, actually, you sent a photo today that makes me think that he's looking very comfortable in front of the camera now.
Oh, what's happening?
TV work.
Yeah, he's enjoying it. So I went in, obviously, doesn't take me too long to get my hair and makeup done. Takes Isaac a little bit longer. And I just arrived, had a few little clips just to get the flyaways down and obviously take them out. But he asked me if I'd be keeping them in for the show. And then I sort of went off and was doing my prep and turned around. And who's got the hair clips in now?
Well, I'm on TV, Jay. You know how it is. You're a big boy now in the middle of the week on Fox Footy.
Well, you got scrunchies in your hair or something.
Oh, the curl is it? Remember you used to stay...
What do you want, the golden girl?
Well, you used to stay at your grandparents, remember that, and your nana would walk out and she'd have the hair curlers in. I just thought, oh, I'll give him a go.
And what'd you think?
You could give him a go next week. Now, if he's moved that camera right, we'll see his balls gone right there.
Fresh shave today, too. That Mr. Sheen sponsorship's coming along nicely. Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy. 25 minutes away from things getting underway here at the MCG. Jay Clark, Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy and Jack Everin in Triple M Footy Prime Time for Mitsubishi Heavy Industries. Mitsubishi Heavy Industries air conditioners. You can put your trust in the experts in air. No change to either team. Finn McRae will be the sub for the Pies, and for the Saints, Zach Jones will be their sub tonight. Talk more about this game very shortly, but just on the Western Bulldogs, for those who might have missed it a little bit earlier on, we kind of touched on a little bit what's going on there. The good news, Jay, is that Jamari Ugal-Hagan looks set to recommit. So that's one they can tick.
Yeah, so they got some massive signatures to strike off the field. So Jamari Ugal-Hagan's one. Sammy Landsberger, the Herald Sun, said last night that he'd sign likely for 2 years. The Bulldogs very confident there. Tim English is another one. I think he wants a pretty penny at the moment, but the value of Ruckman is being heavily debated. We've seen Brody Grundy at two different clubs on a decent pay packet, now going well at Sydney, of course. But like, what is a Ruckman really worth in the modern game? I'll ask you guys, because we've seen the clubs. The trend is more recently to try and get value from more mid-tier. You know, we've seen Reece Stanley become a premiership ruckman, Isaac, who's probably a B grade, C grade player, not that absolute triple A. So where do you stand on ruckman, and is Tim English worth the really big money?
I think it's coach's preference. I've never played in a team where there's a huge value put on ruckman, but I've probably never played in a team where a huge financial value is being put on ruckman. So I think it's really interesting, and it's a debate for the senior coach and the list manager to see where they want to put all their pennies. And like, for example, Nick Natanui is one.
Yep.
And he didn't even end up playing in West Coast Premiership side. So it's interesting. Like Max Gawn, he is a ruckman that has been phenomenal for the last 10 years in football, and he's probably only just getting paid now. It's a really difficult one, because you'll find some senior coaches, they want to have a star ruckman. Other senior coaches will just want a ruckman that is not dispensable, but is just in, cracking in, knee up, hitting the opposition, knocking the smaller midfielders over. And more often than not, you can pay less for a ruckman like that than you can for one that is going to give you silver service out of a stoppage. So it's a really difficult one, because Tim English is a unique player.
I think I've also had sort of coaches in the system. Obviously, AFLW a little bit different, more developing. If you've got a dominant ruck, really, really important. But I've also sort of the same token as Isaac. I've had a couple of coaches that have said, we don't even care who rucks. Like, we will just play our game around either relying on not winning the tap or just get them to move around the ground really well, compete in the air. We find we place more value on that. I've had other coaches that, okay, if we can get a ruck in that can win absolutely every tap, we know where it's going. Give players like Ellie Blackburn at the Dogs first use of the footy, how are they going to stop us? It does come down to, I think, your mid makeup, but what your coach values, and how they see they're going to get the most out of that player. And if that's winning the taps, getting the clearance on the end of it, that's what that is. If not, it's, okay, let's work around the ground and let's have you owning that long down the line and competing all day for it.
One thing I will say with footy at the moment, and rounds 0 and 1 this year don't necessarily agree with this, but Steve Hocking and his team, when they changed the rules to make it more 6-6-6, there's more space on the oval. I think over the last 3 years, you're seeing Ruckman have more impact around the ground, taking probably more contested or nearly uncontested marks and having more of an influence on the game than they previously had, because you're able to nullify with third man up. I remember when we used to play Aaron Sanderlands, like our sole task as wingers and a half forwards and half backs was to effectively block him so he couldn't get to the stoppage.
Is that right?
By the time he got to the stoppage, he was too cooked to put his arm up. So all those different ploys, which you can't really do now. It's difficult to do. So, it's interesting. I think we're seeing, Nelly, the re-injection of a ruckman, and we're starting to see some really dominant ones in the competition.
Caleb Daniels being one of the biggest talking points. A very popular player at the Kendall. I think Bevo's playing a really dangerous game on that front. Have you ever been a part of a team where someone really valued by the players has been outside the team and that's caused any friction inside? Have you ever experienced that? Because you just wonder, it's been a tense and unhappy football club, the Western Bulldogs, and it's a strange start for a footy club really trying to find that connection and synergy, I think.
I think in terms of selection, no, but in terms of list decisions, yes.
Yep.
So when I was at St Kilda, real pivotal point of the club, rewatch, she did her ACL and she was our first captain at that club, and eventually decisions were made, reshuffled the leadership group and things like that. And we were getting towards the end of the season and she'd had indications that she wasn't going to be offered another contract despite doing her ACL at that club. And I know myself and a few of the other senior players, we didn't really think that that was super acceptable. We took that pretty, not personally, but Ree's someone that you want at your football club. I think the thing that speaks loudest to that is that Melbourne Football Club, who are in their premiership window, gave her a contract knowing she can't play for 12 months because she's doing her knee rehab. And I think a lot of the turnover at St Kilda in that year actually occurred because of that decision that they made with the lists. And there are people at your club, like Caleb Daniel, which I'm hearing out of the Bulldogs, that actually mean a lot to the players that they're around. And I think those decisions, not so much sort of game decisions, selection, but list decisions, can affect people in that way.
Caleb Daniel's an interesting one too. There's been a bit of discussion this week about whether he's almost been coached out of this team. So last year played almost exclusively as a forward. In the 3 or 4 years prior, has always been used as that, you know, that darting sort of 45 kickoff halfback. Was moved to a different position last year and now isn't in the team at all. You've also got Jack McRae not playing at the moment, played in a different position last year, and yet their midfield got absolutely smoked last week against Melbourne. Your point's a really interesting one, Jay, about what the other players in amongst this team must be thinking and talking about at the moment.
I have absolutely no idea what conversations are happening at Western Bulldogs or what's going on, but what I've always learnt, been told, and then what my belief in football is that you need to, if you're not winning a premiership, you need to figure out your side to win a premiership. And Bulldogs aren't winning anything at the moment. And since they're in the grand final over in Perth, they haven't won a thing, really. They've been an average side in the competition. I'm probably not as big on their list as what most people are externally, but I actually really like what they're doing in the sense that they're obviously trying things to see what their best makeup is and what their side looks like, what their next premiership side looks like. And that might, there might be some issues along the way and you might ruffle some feathers, but if you're genuinely serious about winning premierships and you're genuinely serious about putting yourself at the pointy end, you need to make tough calls. And I'm not saying these are the right or wrong ones. I don't know. I'm not internally at Western Bulldogs, but I don't mind that they're doing things like this.
It will be interesting. If it becomes a trend and Daniel and McRae continue to find themselves outside the 22 in a month's time, other clubs will swoop. There's no doubt about that. Hey, North Melbourne versus Fremantle to Saturday at the MCG. The co-captains are back in Luke McDonald and Jai Simpkin. He comes back from that big bump from Jimmy Webster. Fremantle decimated down back with Oscar McDonald and Brennan Cox out. So will the Roos have a chance there? That'll be interesting. Harrison Petty is back for the Ds. Ataj Woden makes way there. So he is a huge in for Demons. And as we said early, Laverty comes in for Zach Reid at the Bombers. And Sam Draper will make his return to Essendon as well. Jed Walt will make his debut for Gold Coast. An outstanding key forward prospect in that game against the Western Bulldogs. The Tigers are fascinating at the moment. They hit their third game of the season down 0-2. They haven't had a top 15 draft pick in the past eight drafts, other than Josh Gipkus, who's out for a season-ending ACL. What they do throughout this year will be absolutely fascinating. We can tell you that Liam Baker is a man in demand. He's out of contract at the end of the year from WA. Fremantle and West Coast have both already registered their strong interest in Liam Baker, so that will be an interesting position for the Tigers at the end of the year. Already got a first-round pick. Do they try and maybe trade out to get another top 20, top 30 selection and have three or four good picks inside 30 to try and inject some of that young talent and maybe attract a big key forward? How are you seeing the Tigers, guys? Because it sort of feels like under Adam Uze, this is going to be a bit of a transition year as they look to get some young talent in. They take on Port Adelaide, of course, this weekend.
Oh, it is a transition year, and it's going to be tough for Adam Uze. And I think a lot of it's going to be a sell and how they sell what's going on. Last Thursday night, I thought Richmond were outstanding.
Yep.
And they were unlucky and unfortunate not to win that game, probably due to a couple of injuries. And now those injuries are going to compound now, as in they've got those injuries. They've lost two or three of their better players. They've got to bring up two or three that aren't as good. So you lose a hell of a lot there, especially when you're not a team that's in a really strong position at the moment. And it's tough for Adam Uze because they might lose a hell of a lot of football. And hopefully that doesn't hurt his coaching, because I genuinely like the way Richmond are going about their footy, especially if the blueprint is what they did on Thursday night. That's exciting for Richmond. But other than their top players, I don't believe they have the talent coming through at the moment.
You think there's got to be a significant turnover there throughout the end of the season? And potentially Baker, Jack Graham's another one who could leave potentially as a free agent. North Melbourne, there are some concerns about the crowd. I mentioned, and I'm really surprised by this. So McDonald and Simpkin come in, the two co-captains, and they've got young Zane Dersma pick three and Colby McKercher pick two, who looks like an absolute 200-game superstar in the making. Yesterday, the forecast was only for an 18,000-strong crowd for that game against Fremantle. Now, I get it, an interstate club. They've got the Good Friday game coming up, so maybe North Melbourne fans are keeping their powder dry, Jack. But 18,000 would be a disappointing round. What round are we up to? Round two crowd.
How many were we expecting?
Well, you would think there'd be 20,000 plus to a round two game early in the season for North Melbourne, wouldn't you?
Well, first game in Melbourne.
Yes.
You'd
wheeling out the prize two of the three top kids in the country.
Also one of the smallest membership bases in the AFL.
Oh, I think that would be a shocking result if it's less than 20,000. You would urge all North Melbourne, like Colby McKercher and Zane Dersma.
No doubt, yeah.
Dylan Stevens coming in, Zach Fisher. They're half a chance to win, aren't they, against Fremantle? With their losses, you know, Oscar McDonald out, Brennan Cox out. Aren't they a 50-50? Isn't this a 50-50 game?
Oh, I don't think it's a 50-50 game, but like North could easily win. And I tell you what, how it's easier to win when you have 90% of a big crowd cheering for you. And that's the challenge North Melbourne face. And they knew that when they didn't go up to the Gold Coast many, many years ago, that they do have a small supporter base in Melbourne. So I think North Melbourne fans are going to be happy for a long time to come with the talent they've got. And I'd be the same as you, urge them to get along, because as a player, there is nothing better than playing in front of a big crowd, especially when they're cheering for you.
Where have you got the Kangaroos at, Kate? And does that number surprise you for the weekend?
It surprises me in the point that, yeah, it is definitely on the lower end of the scale. I think a lot of people were expecting the Kangaroos to have this huge breakout season this year, and I think the reality is most people realise that's not the case. It's not going to happen. I think there's definitely growth. We've seen it in the first game. There's growth there. As you said, Jay-Z, they've got some fantastic youngsters that are just going to keep building, and they'll get sort of, I guess, more accustomed to the system that Clarke will be able to implore there, because he'll have obviously a full season with them at the club. But I think I'm pretty reserved on their improvement this year. I think as a whole, I think we'll see little improvements, but I think even just last week, 120 points from GWS, who are definitely the benchmark of the competition at the moment, but I think expecting them to sort of make leaps and bounds this season, I don't think is necessarily realistic.
11 minutes away from the bounce of the ball, Saints and the Pies here at the MCG. As the Saints make their way out, Zach Jones will be playing as their sub tonight. A couple of changes. Jack Sinclair, the big one, back in tonight for St Kilda. This game means a lot to a lot of people for different reasons. It's obviously a really important one for us here at Triple M Footy. Spud was such a big part of the family for such a long time. Kate, can I ask you what this game means to you personally?
Yeah, I think obviously football historically has been a place where we're sort of not open to have these conversations that we're now having, and I think society in general, really. And I just love the work that they've done at St Kilda to really promote this, to promote Danny Frawley, his story, and the importance of making sure that you have support in place when you need it. I think personally, I moved down from Brisbane, obviously was playing sort of in the AFLW up there, and had really good support network up there, had my family up there, had everything I really needed, good psychologist at the club that I'd built a really good relationship with, and then moved down here into Melbourne, and first 2 years that I was here was COVID ravaged. Mm. So that automatically made it really hard to build a support network in a new place. It makes it really hard to make friends when you can't socialise.
Yes.
And then the third season at St Kilda was sort of, my footy was really declining, was in and out of the team, was finding it really hard to crack in. And I think personally that was a huge, that took a really big toll on my mental health. And I think just that ability to form connections was really compromised. And I was in a pretty bad place. And I think it's just that importance of what I learnt through that is, you need to make these connections when you're feeling good, when you're up and about, you're feeling good about yourself, you have that motivation to even get out of bed of a day. Mm. So that when you get to the place where you can't do those things, the things that usually make you feel good aren't anymore. Footy was my place where I loved, and I didn't even want to go to training most of the time. And I think making those connections, especially those professional connections, having a relationship with a psychologist before you're at the point where you need to lean on them for some serious help. If you already have that in place, it makes it so much easier going to talk to them about things that are going wrong. The last thing you want to do when you're feeling like crap is go meet a stranger and tell them about all your problems. I think the thing that makes it so much easier is building that relationship with them when you are feeling good, so that you can lean on them when things aren't good. So I think for me, if there's something that can come out of this game, it's that, yes, check in on your mates. Yes, check in on those that you love, your loved ones, and all of that. But also build those professional connections with people that can help you when things get bad, but don't wait for them to get bad. I think we're so happy to be proactive with so many other parts of our health. Everyone in winter talks about a summer bod. We don't wait till summer. Mm. Don't wait.
Well,
till
some
don't wait till things are bad to do something about it, because then it just makes it so much harder.
Yeah,
if I knock off a couple more of Isaac's brownies, I might actually have more troubles. Well said, Kate. That's a great message for everyone. Collingwood fans coming out onto the MCG, Collingwood players coming out onto the MCG. Now, your eyes gravitate to Nick Dacos, don't they? I mean, potentially the best first 50 games we've ever seen from an AFL player. First two games this season gone bang, bang with 34 and 37 possessions. What sort of treatment are we expecting from St Kilda out here tonight? Will it be a hard tag? Do you think you go with a head-to-head shootout? How do you try and combat this incredibly gifted young midfielder?
I'd be surprised if Ross hasn't put in a nice little plan for
Windhager.
Well, I don't know if he throws someone to him or if he throws the whole team at him. I know previously playing Ross, he used to use Ryan Crowley back in the day as his number one tagger at Freo, and Stevie Baker was his guy that he used at St Kilda many, many years ago. But I feel like it's a team job. But I also feel like it is an individual job. But I just think teams are going away from that at the moment. So I'm not exactly sure. It's going to be a fascinating watch tonight, and we'll cover it. But, yeah, it's his first 50 games. Well, that's Chris Judd. Yep. Joel Selwood, Nick Dacre, oh, there's some pretty special names in there.
Looking forward to seeing him tonight. Interesting to see what the Saints have for him as well. We are about 6 minutes away from the bounce of the ball between the Saints and the Pies. Jay-Z, nicely done by you.
Thank you, Jack.
You and your sonnies can ship off on out of here as well.
The Triple M Footy Thursday Rub for Thirsty Camel. Proud sponsors of the St Kilda Football Club.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M Rocks Footy.